Join me for a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for what you've done for us. Help this time to be for your glory. Help this time to be one that helps us be better. Let us come into your presence now. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So this is the part where I normally launch in my sermon, but I'm going to give you a little disclaimer. I've not been super healthy this week, so if like I start sneezing or coughing, like I'm not going to die, I promise. Just like, let me have my moment, okay? A couple weeks ago, it was actually the week that we didn't have church because of the ice, my family came to visit. And I was so excited. I was so pumped. And mom's a little bit this way in that she has to have a like reason for things, right? She can't just like come on by or do things. No, it has to have a purpose. So mom has been wanting to visit for a while, and now she's starting to make up reasons. So this reason was she had a couch that she wanted to get rid of, and she thought, you know what, Alex would love this couch, this would be perfect. So she calls me up, this is in January when she calls me, she's like, hey, if we came by and gave you a couch, would that be all right? I'm like, I already have a couch, but yeah, sure, like that's fine. And sure enough, a couple weeks later, she calls and she's like, hey, we're gonna come over this weekend, we got the couch. I'm like, okay, I better get the house ready. Like, but it was my mom, her significant other, my sister, and my brother-in-law. And they all came over, and they loaded onto this trailer, and they called me like, hey, can you make sure there's people to help us move it? And like, now she's talking about it, and I'm thinking, this is gonna be some kind of 500-pound monster couch situation. It was not that heavy, but I had a vision of how this weekend was supposed to go. They were gonna get there on Saturday. It was gonna be Saturday afternoon. We'd move the couch in, and then we'd go out to eat, and they hadn't really seen Indianapolis or anything around here, so I was like, we'll take them around. We'll go up to the circle. We'll do this. We'll do that. I had like a list of things I wanted to do. I don't know if you've had your family over before, and like mom has a different expectation than you, but this is pretty much straight up how it went, in that I left the house for, I don't know, maybe 5-10 minutes. I come back, and mom has put together a list of projects that she wants to accomplish in her time here. And we compromised in that we did everything that she said. So, and it's not that there was so much wrong with the house or that I lived in some sort of dump situation. There were just different things that mom saw that's like, you know, that really isn't how that works. Like, I told her, I was like, you know, I have this weird issue with my stove and that I can only cook on like half of the surfaces that I can use. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, when I put a pan on it, I can only use half of the pan. And she's like, all of your burners are crooked. Like, that's not how that's supposed to work. That's not normal. I was like, oh, I thought it was just, that was just how it was. She's like, no. So it was stuff like that, and it was so much fun that they were here. And it was during that time that my mom was working on that sort of stuff. My sister, she's very detail-oriented, and she works on projects. She makes little candles, she makes soaps, she does that sort of thing. She paints things, she works on projects. And as I'm sitting there and we're talking, this just summarizes who my sister is. She looks around the house and like they're probably an hour away from leaving. She's like, so next time we come to visit, I was like, yeah. She's like, would it be okay if I brought some stuff? I was like, what do you mean? Just stuff. She's like, well, knickknacks and things, just like little things. Houses have to have these things, otherwise they feel like they're just barren. And your house feels very devoid of this. I was like, I don't care. Yeah, that's fine. Like, but this is who she is. She's very detail-oriented. She's very project-oriented. And It was during this time of talking and visiting and seeing them put all this stuff together that I realized that, like, we're all kind of different. Like, I am very different from my family, but each of them is different as well. Each of them has their place. And during that time, we were all working together, and it just came together well. It was a harmony. The thing that I provide to my family, because I didn't learn these skills that they all had, otherwise I would have done the projects, is that they will work themselves into frustration. They will work to the point that they are now completely fed up with the thing and want to light it on fire and walk away. Whereas my skill is to sort of, I'm the joker of the family a little bit. I'm the trickster, the pranker, like all that sort of stuff. So I just make things light. I make things fun. And we just had a blast that weekend. At one point, my sister was laughing so hard, she was crying on the floor. I was like, oh, I've done a good job. Like, but what was so interesting is the fact that that reality, that we were all a bit different, and we all had different skills, and we all worked together. And there was a point in my life where that didn't really add up to me. That didn't make sense. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But in 1 Corinthians, man, they go through a lot of different stuff. And that's where we're going to be working today. We're going to be working in 1 Corinthians 12. But we have this issue in that sometimes we start taking our gifts that God has given us, and we start attributing the wrong things to them. We start making the wrong statements or the wrong conclusions because of them. And this was a huge issue in the early church. People had these different gifts, these different abilities that God had given them, but they weren't all the same. And people started comparing their own abilities to other people's, and some people started elevating some gifts as like, oh, this is so important versus this other thing, which is not. And it turned into this weird system to the point that if you read through, it almost comes across that there were people who were looking at others that said, oh, you can't do this. You must not know Jesus. And that's not how it works. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 4. Just kidding. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. All right. Now I'm going to read a little bit further, and I want you to pay attention to how many different gifts are listed here. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. All right, quiz time. How many different gifts were listed there? I'm holding them up on my hand, so I need to stop. 9, right? There were 9 listed there, and that is not a comprehensive list. There are still more gifts involved. Different books of the Bible talk about other gifts listed. But there are 9 different gifts there. There are 9 different skills, and there are so many more. And it's unreasonable to expect all these things to exist in one person. It is unreasonable to expect one person to do all these things. It's important that our spiritual gifts are different. It is so vital to the well-being of the church that our spiritual gifts are different. Our spiritual gifts are different, and that's important, and that's good. You guys manage to pull off a lot of different crazy things. Yesterday, I'm going to use yesterday's dinner as an example. There was so many people involved with pulling this thing off, and so many different things that had to go into it, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, just all over the place, and yet we don't really stop and think about it. We just see that it gets done. If everyone was like me, right, we'd talk about, man, we should have a dinner sometime. That'd be really good. Yeah, we should do that. And then it would come time to do the dinner and say, wow, that was a really good idea we had, and there would be no dinner. Or if there was, it would be like all half burnt and everyone would be sick. Like, it just wouldn't be a good time. Like, it's important that our spiritual gifts are different. With that dinner, we have administrative things. We have to make sure that people get organized in order to do it, and we have to make sure that it's available and that we have all this different stuff set up. We have to make sure that there's food. You can't have a dinner without food. We have to have people who are willing to cook, who are willing to sacrifice, who are willing to make that time and investment into doing that. We have to have people who are willing to set up tables and chairs. And I know immediately there's going to be someone who says, well, anyone can set up tables and chairs. But not everyone is willing to take that time in order to do that. Not everyone is willing to say, you know what, this is something that has to be done, and I'm going to set aside the time to do it. We have so many different things that went into that one thing. And I'll be honest with you, these are the things that get me excited about the church. These are the things that get me excited about us. Because it's when we come together and we're working on these large-scale projects that I just get so pumped. We have VBS, and there are so many different things in VBS that come together to pull it off. It can't all rely on one single person. There's no way. We have the Christmas assistance program, and man, you guys managed to pull off so much. We have the food pantry and the clothes closet, and initially, we can say, hey, anyone can put that together, anyone can do that, but straight up, it's not true. It's not true, because I'm telling you, I can only speak from my experience of who I am, but if I was in charge of the clothes closet or if I was in charge of the food pantry, the clothes closet would not be sorted in any meaningful sort of way, so people would never find clothes that they need. Not once. It would not happen. Or the food pantry would be so full of cookies and no real food, like, it'd be a cookie closet. Like, that'd be it. And that is not what people need. Each of us has our own special set of skills and abilities that God has blessed us with. And it's so valuable that they're different. It is not good for us all to be the same. It's important that we each have different spots and different places. Going on later in the chapter, starting in verse 15, now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. This has so much to say, and it's a very large metaphor, and it goes on for quite a while. But there are a couple things worth taking note, in that our spiritual gifts are not making a statement about our value. We as people do not have value based on the ability and thing that we can do. We are all invaluable, and that only comes from the statement of that we are made in the image of God and that Christ died for us. There's no other thing that can add to that value, and anything we try to attach to it only devalues it. That is where our value comes from. It is not from what we're able to do or what we're able to pull off. It's not from our skills. And that's important to realize, because if we don't, it will open us up to so many different forms of jealousy. It will open us up to so many different combative things that are harmful to the body. He talks about how the eye and the ear being jealous because the eye can see and the ear can only hear and all this stuff. But if you ever have known someone who has had one of those abilities diminished, you know that they're both vital. You know that they're both important. We take great pains in our lives in order to make sure that we are able to see. We don't rely simply on hearing. Or we take great pains to make sure that we're still able to hear because we need something more than just the ability to see. But there's something else here too. There's this statement being made about you belong, that God has put you here for a reason, that God has put you where you're at in order to know that your abilities matter, that your gifts matter. I remember growing up, this was in high school, and my cousin was 4 years ahead of me. So he was a senior and I was a freshman. And it was so funny to me because he was a great athlete. He played football, he played basketball, and he was a great baseball player. Like, he got scholarships, he got offers for different things. And as a freshman, I got some benefits from this. First off, he looked after me. He was like, hey, don't mess with him. Like, he's with me, which was so cool. Like, I was not great socially at first, so that helped out a great deal. But it was interesting because people started to talk about him. My friends would talk about him because they were always looking up to the older kids and like, oh, wow, I want to be like him. It's super great. And one day I'm like, yeah, he's my cousin. And they look at me and they're like, Alex, you weigh 105 pounds. He's a lineman. You're telling me you're his cousin? No, that's not true. That's so not true. Look at his family. All of them were in football. We're in basketball. We're all in these very good at sports. They were just skilled in it. And I played soccer, but like I wasn't great at it. And it like I could see the struggle of being related. They made the claim, you do not belong to them. You do not belong to them. I was like, I do. I may be different. I may look different and I may sound different, but I still belong to them. But what happened was, in that moment, it sparked that doubt, that question of like, oh, I need to be more. I need to be more than just what I am. I have to try to become like the rest of my family. And I'll let you know, it did not work. I am still not like the rest of my family. But this was a struggle that I saw everywhere. This struggle of trying to fit in or belong to these expectations. And not just for me, but for people that I knew around me. There was this kid, and he was brilliant. Like, he scored a 36 on the ACT. He scored a perfect score, and they made him retake the test because they wanted to make sure he didn't cheat. But during his there it is. But during his high school career, he spent a number of years chasing after athletic stuff that wasn't going to be of any benefit to him. He was trying to do stuff that he didn't need to do. And he also was in this musicals, and he loved doing this musical stuff. In fact, he believed that it was his passion and his call. And we were sitting in this math class, and he dominates every test. He gets high grades all the time. I'm like struggling to survive. He's doing great. And the teacher finds out about his test score and is like, sits him down. It's like, so what do you want to do when you get to college? Where do you want to go? You can go anywhere. You can get any full ride scholarship that you want because you are just the best. You are the most brilliant. Like, she is heaping praise. It is a little ridiculous. And she's like, you can go into any STEM field that you would want. You would revolutionize the world. He's like, well, I want to go up to Michigan for musical theater. I have never seen a woman get so angry so fast in my life. It was crazy. She tore him up one side and down the other. Like, because that's not what she wanted. That's not what she expected. That's not what he was supposed to do. That was completely wrong. How could he waste such a mind? Well, right now he's touring with a theater group. He was actually in Indiana a couple weeks ago. He's doing what he loves. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And he belongs there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the expectations that other people put on him. He wasn't going to allow himself to be deterred in that way. Sometimes we let ourselves fall prey to what we're supposed to be. We say, oh, well, I should be doing this and I shouldn't be doing that, and allow those expectations to guide and to shape us. And to be perfectly honest, most of the time, that's not good. Most of the time, that's actually inhibiting us from doing what we're really supposed to do. The trouble is, we let our spiritual gifts speak to us in a way that we probably shouldn't. We get our value wrapped up in what we do and not who we are. We get our value wrapped up in trying to impress other people rather than who God says we are. Our spiritual gifts do not make a statement about our value. They simply tell us how we're supposed to spend our time. The thing about our spiritual gifts is that they have a purpose. They have a purpose and they have a reason. And I can't tell you precisely what your spiritual gifts are. I can't tell you what you're good at. If I knew exactly what you were good at, I still couldn't tell you precisely what the direct purpose is from day to day. That's on you guys. Like, that is straight up something you have to wrestle with. I would love to just be able to pull out this chart and be like, ah, yes, I am this grand general and here's your role. Like, but that's not how it works. Each of you has a very special and specific role to play here. Paul goes on. He goes on in 1 Corinthians 13. And so often we zoom into this other part of this passage and think, oh, this is about love. And it is. It is about love. It's very much about love. But that's not entirely the point. Because of the way we've broken it up, we see this definition of love and we use it only in reference to love itself. But when you put it in context, it's talking about how our spiritual gifts are meant to be used, how our spiritual gifts, when used properly, look like. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Sorry. We have a purpose with our spiritual gifts, and it's to use them in love. And this is very important. It's great to be good at stuff. Man, it is awesome to be good at things. When you do something and you do it well, I don't know about you, but I get excited. I'm like, oh man, I did it. Way to go, me. Like, and I know, it's like, okay. I get excited over little things. Like, wow, you paid your bill on time. Way to go, Alex. Good job. But like, when we use our skills and abilities, it's not just a matter of using them. It's not enough to do a thing. It's the spirit in which it's done. It's the purpose for which we're working with. We have to keep in mind that there's an eternal value at stake. I'm going to say something that might be considered a little prideful. But I consider myself to be decent at this public speaking thing. I know that there would be people who, if we swap places, would like absolutely break down in this moment. I consider myself to be okay at this. But because of this, there is a requirement. I need to make sure that when I'm speaking or I'm using this gift that God has given me, that I am doing it in a spirit of love. Man, there are unloving ways in which to speak to you guys, and you know it. If you are in a relationship, there is definitely times in which you have said something that was not very loving to whomever. It doesn't have to be in a marriage relationship. It can be a coworker. You can say something unkind to a coworker, and they know that it is unkind, and you know that it was not done in love. We have to use these gifts in love. That's the only way in which they have value. We've talked about stewardship. We were talking about stewardship a couple weeks ago. And this is what stewardship is. It's when we use our gifts and abilities, not just to use them, but we use them for a purpose in love. We use them for a purpose in serving God. That is where it starts to develop an eternal value. And I know that you guys do this. I know that this is something that you guys try to do. I see so many different ways in which you guys serve. And the other day, I was asked to fill out the survey about Gen Z leadership and how to envelop these kids into our leadership. And so many people were talking about how, oh, they don't care and they don't do this and they don't do that. But then I was like, I don't see that. Man, 2/3 of our kids are serving almost every Sunday. They're involved every Sunday, and they have a purpose in their gifts and their abilities. And they know what they're doing. Now, it's not fair for me to say to them, oh, well, you don't sing on the stage? You don't deliver a message? Well, that's not really service. That's not good. That's not right. Same is true about us. Each of us has a different set of skills and abilities, and each of us can use them for a purpose that God has appointed us for in love. And this is the thing that I want you to understand. God has put you in this place with your own specific set of skills for a purpose. And that's very important. It's not a statement that, oh, I was put in this place in this specific time for this specific purpose, and that makes me so super special. That's not what this is about. Our spiritual gifts don't make us valuable. That's from God. God is what makes us valuable. It's not what we do. But what it means is there is an opportunity in front of you. There is something in front of you that only you can do. Only you. And we try to justify our way out of that situation. We try to undersell ourselves. We talked about the table thing. I'm going to go back to it. Many people can set up tables, but how many of them are willing to take the time and say, you know what? It needs to be done, and I'm going to do it. There are many different needs that exist in this world, but how many people are willing to be the ones to step up and say, well, I'm just going to do it? There are so many different ways in which we can make excuses to say, well, it'll get done, or someone will do it, or whatever. It's our job to do it. It's our job to fulfill whatever purpose God has put us in that moment. I would love to just tell you exactly what you're going to face this week and say, ah, this is the challenge. This is the thing that you're going to have to rise to, and this is what you need to do in that instance. But I can't. I can't look at Richard and say, Richard, you're going to have to be approached to go visit a hospital, and you're going to have to say these words to these people, and it's going to be so dynamic, and it's going to tilt the odds in the favor of God. That's going to be the moment. I can't say that to any of you. The thing is, God can, and God does, and we know those moments. I'm going to be honest with you. This is one of the things that I struggle with. Because there are times where I'm like, ooh, this feels like something that I should do, but I don't know if I can. I don't know if I should. And there is almost always a moment of wrestling of doubt where I'm like, maybe someone else should handle this. There's probably someone better. There's probably someone more capable. Is there someone willing? No. Then I should do it. Here's the deal. I've talked about this parable before, so I'm not going to go into a huge amount of details. But Jesus was talking to his disciples about the talents or the bags of gold. And he gives this parable of a king or a businessman who's going on a trip. So he leaves 10 bags of gold or 5 bags of gold to one guy, 3 to another, and 1 to one other guy. And he leaves. And the guy who has 5 comes back, has 10. The guy who has 3 turns it into 6. And the guy who has 1 spends that time, buries it underground, and hides it for the full year or however long he's gone, comes back, digs it up, and gives it back to the man. And the man is livid. He says, it would have been better for you to waste it than to just bury it. So he takes the bag of gold and gives it to the man who has 10 bags of gold. Our spiritual gifts and these things that God has given to us aren't ours forever. These things that God has given us are meant to be used. And it's a little conditional. If we don't use these things that God has given to us, if we don't use these gifts that God has given us, God will take them away. I don't know if you've ever seen this happen, but there's an opportunity in front of you, and you just think, I don't know if I'm supposed to be the one. And you just let it go and let it go and let it go until finally someone else comes up and says, you know what, I'll do it. And they take over, and you think, oh, wow, I could have done that. I should have done that. But that opportunity is past. That opportunity is gone. You can't go back to it. You can't get it back. That door closed because we didn't take that step. You and I need to be actively using the gifts that we have, whatever they may be. And sometimes we don't even fully realize what our gifts are. And that's what I want to ask you to do this week. There are 2 things. The first is I want you to take some time and honestly evaluate the gifts that you have, the things that God has given you, the things that you're good at. There are so many different things that, to be perfectly honest, we don't acknowledge that we're good at. We don't realize that we're good at. We don't even realize that they're skills. In high school, I didn't know that talking was a skill. It was not something that our school did at all. It was brushed under the rug, it was a required class, and then you move on. But there's a skill to it. There are so many different things that only you are able to do, and you may not even fully realize it. You may not realize the gifts that you have, and what I want you to do this week is to actually evaluate that. There we are. I want you to actually think about the things that you're good at and how you can use them. You have gifts. God says that those who believe are blessed with abilities. You have something that you can do. I fully believe that. And if you say, well, I'm really not that special. I'm not able to do much. That's a lie. That is a straight up lie. You have the ability to do things, and that is the enemy trying to convince you that you are unempowered and you are unimportant and that you don't matter and you can't sway anything. And that's not true. That's not true. Every single one of you has the ability to make a difference in some way. The second thing, it's really good to know that you can do things, but it's more important that you do things with them. Like, it's really good for us to know that, man, God has given me the ability to do stuff. Cool. If you let it sit there, that's not helping anyone. That's not doing anything. Once you have observed and acknowledged, hey, these are the things that I'm skilled at, put them to use. Do something with them. Put together an idea. Figure it out. If you are struggling with the way in which you can use your skills and talents, find someone else and talk to them about it. Maybe they have a skill that complements yours. It says in the text that there is the use of tongues and there's the interpretation of tongues. And later in the passage, it talks about how tongues by themselves, not that useful unless there's someone there to interpret them. Work together. Figure out some way in which you can use the gifts and abilities God has given you. We're going to go into this time of communion and a time of response. And here's what I want you to think about. You may be a person who has known Jesus for a very long time, but maybe you haven't put forth that statement of like, you know, I need to work here. Maybe you're a person who's looking for a church, and this is as good as any other one. Like, but you would be more than welcome. You would be more than wanted. God has put you here for a reason. And maybe you're a person who has come and you're like, man, I feel like God's saying I need to do something. Maybe God's saying that I have a purpose. And maybe that's a new thought. Maybe you don't know who this Jesus guy is. And if that's the case, I'd love to have a conversation about it. Or maybe you just need time to pray. Maybe you need someone to pray with you. Maybe you need to come up and pray by yourself. Either way, if that's the case, you are more than welcome. I'm going to go and pray. And we're going to go into this time of worship. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much that you have given us the ability to partner with you, that you've given us abilities and gifts that you see us as worthy to partner your cause. You see us as worthy of being involved. Father, I thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to know you better. Help us to know that we are valuable in your eyes, regardless of our ability. Help us to love you better each day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.